Chapter 70. The two of them stood together on the station platform. They did not speak. Most of the previous day and night had been spent talking, and now there was nothing more to say. They stood together in quiet companionship, and a stranger looking at them would have known immediately they were father and son, though Michael was not as tall, and he was lean beside Sean's bulk. Yet the tone of the skin and the colour of the hair were the same. Both had the big Courtney nose, and their mouths were wide and full-lipped. "I'll telegraph as soon as I hit gold," Sean had explained to Michael, in detail, the financial structure of Lion Cop. He had told him how he intended to find the money, which would keep it from collapsing. "I'll hold this end up," Michael was to begin cutting the wattle which had survived the fire. They had ridden the previous afternoon through the plantations and marked the blocks which were ripe for the axe. "Good luck, Uncle Sean." "Since we are working together now, Mike, I suggest you drop the uncle. It's too clumsy for everyday use." Michael grinned. "Good luck, Sean." "Thanks, Mike." They clasped hands, gripping hard. Then Sean climbed up into the coach. Jackson was friendly but firm, and Nichols at the Standard Bank was very polite and full of sympathy. Sean caught the northbound train for Johannesburg to fire his last two bullets. "Colonel Courtney, how good to see you," the reception clerk at Candy's Hotel came round from behind his desk to greet Sean. "We were only talking about you last week. Welcome back to Johannesburg." "Hello, Frank. Putting on a little weight there, aren't you?" Sean prodded his waistcoat, and the man chuckled. "Tell me, Frank, is Mrs. Rotenbach in?" "Ah, there have been some changes since you left, sir." The clerk grinned with just a trace of malice. "It's not Mrs. Rotenbach any longer. No, sir. Mrs. Haynes. Mrs. Jock Haynes, now."
"Good God! She married Jock?"
"That she did, 2 weeks ago. Biggest wedding in Joburg since the war. 2,000 guests."
"Where is she now?"
"On the water. Off to England and the continent for 6 months' honeymoon."
"I hope she'll be happy," Sean murmured softly,
remembering the loneliness he had seen in her eyes when he left.
"With all Mr. Haynes's money? How can she be otherwise?"
the clerk asked in genuine surprise.
"Will you be staying, Colonel? If you have a room."
"We always have a room for our friends. How long, sir?"
2 days, Frank."
Tim Curtis was chief engineer on the City Deep. When Sean spoke to him about a loan, he laughed.
"Christ, Sean, I only work here. I don't own the bloody mine."
Sean had dinner with him and his bride of 2 years' standing. At their urging, Sean examined their newborn infant and secretly decided that it looked like an unweaned bulldog. Extending his stay in Johannesburg, Sean visited the banks. He had dealt with most of them long ago, but the personnel had changed, so he was puzzled that the manager of each institution seemed to have heard of him.
"Colonel Courtney, now would you be Colonel Sean Courtney of Lion Cop Wattle Estates down in Natal?"
And when he nodded, he saw the shutters come down in their eyes, like windows barred by a prudent householder against burglars. On the eighth night, he ordered liquor to be sent to his suite, 2 full bottles of brandy. He drank steadily and desperately. The brandy would not quieten the violent struggles of his brain, but seemed to goad it, distorting his problems and deepening his melancholia. He lay alone until the dawn paled out the yellow gaslight of the lamps. The brandy hummed giddily in his head, and he longed for peace. The peace he had found only in the immense silence and space of the felt. Suddenly, a picture formed in his mind of a lonely grave below a little hill. He heard the wind moan over it and saw the brown grass sway. That was peace. He sat up unsteadily.
"Saul," he said,
and the sadness was heavy on him, for the pilgrimage he had promised himself and had not made.
"It's finished here. I'll go now."
And he stood up. The giddiness caught him, and he clutched at the headrail of the bed to steady himself.